All right, check, check. Guys, how are we doing? Doing all right, from what it sounds like. Well, hey, if we've never met before, my name is Luke Barlow. I'm on the Wake team here at Watermark, and I am super excited to be with you guys this morning. I'm super excited for what we're talking about. But before we jump in, guys, today is June 9th, so do you guys know what's right around the corner? Nope, not Dallas Experience. Not July 4th. It is my wife's birthday next Sunday, but that's not what I'm talking about. Guys, it's June 9th, and that means that Christmas is almost here, guys, all right? That's right. Fun fact, Christmas is only 199 days away, so go ahead and get your lights, get your Christmas trees, get the wreaths out. It's time to celebrate. Okay, no, but in all seriousness, I am curious. I'd love to know. Raise your hand. Does anyone already know what they want for Christmas? Has anyone thought about it yet? Okay, so I'm seeing a lot of hands. I'm curious if that's, you just know what you want or if you've actually thought about asking for it for Christmas, but that's okay. You guys can put your hands down. You can put your hands down. Nope, I want you to keep it in your heart. I want you to write it down and send it to Santa before December 25th rolls around. Okay, so I want to tell you guys, when I was your age, there was only one thing that I wanted for Christmas. It was sometime in middle school. It was a basketball goal, okay? That's all I wanted. Okay, listen, I don't know if you've ever stood next to me, but most of the eighth graders are taller than me now. So if I was gonna be any good at basketball, I was gonna need some extra help. So all I wanted when I was in middle school was a basketball goal. So I'll never forget waking up Christmas morning and I went into my living room. And obviously there was not a basketball goal in my living room because it wouldn't fit, but there was a note under the tree that said, "Look outside." And it looked outside, and in the driveway was a brand new basketball goal. And so, yes, yes. And so I need you guys to know that from that day forward, day and night, rain or shine, I put in the work, okay? I was determined to be the best basketball player I could ever be. I worked on my free throw, my jump shot, my crossover, everything for hours and hours on that basketball goal. Unfortunately, my career never panned out, and I didn't grow anymore. But that's okay because I still had a lot of fun playing basketball. Okay, so why do I tell you that? Here's why. Because today, in our time together, we're going to read a psalm where David has a list of things that he really wants, just like maybe we do for a Christmas list. However, the difference is the things that we want for Christmas are typically fun, things that we don't need, right? Things that would just be fun to have. The things that David needed or wanted on his list were actually life or death. Okay, so some of the things that David wanted were to know he wasn't gonna get killed while he was asleep, to know that none of his trusted men were actually traitors who were going to betray him, to know that he had the strategy and the ability to not get overtaken by enemies. Like, he had a list of things that he desperately wanted because without them, he wouldn't survive. And so in case you guys don't know, David was a king of Israel back in the Old Testament, but before he became king, he was just a shepherd. And when he was about 15 years old, he found out that he was going to be the next king of Israel. The problem was there was already a king of Israel named Saul who found out about David being the next king, and Saul didn't like that very much. So David spent years of his life running from Saul because Saul was trying to kill David. And so we don't actually know if the psalm we're going to read today was before David became king or after, but what we do know is that so much of David's life was marked by a desperate need for a list of things. And now, I don't think many of you today are experiencing life or death, but I do know that other than a Christmas list, we do have a list of things that we want. And I don't know what those things are for you, but they could be to not feel anxious all the time. It could be that you don't want to be bullied at school. It could be that you want friends who won't make jokes at your expense. It could be that you want your home to feel safe and secure. It could be something just as simple as a pain or a discomfort you're experiencing that you just wish would go away. Okay, I don't know what your list is, but we all have a list of things that we want. However, the reason we're going to read this psalm today is because in the midst of David's need, he asks God for only one thing. In the midst of all of the chaos and hard circumstances of David's life, he only asks God for one thing. And the question I want us to wrestle with is why? why would David only ask God for one thing? And as we wrestle with that question, I think what we're going to find is that if we can ask ourselves, or if we can ask God for the same thing ourselves, it's actually better than our list of wants and needs. That the one thing is better. So we're going to read from Psalm 27 today. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and open to Psalm 27. The way I'm going to do this is I'm going to read one verse that kind of explains the one thing David asks for, and then we'll break down some of the rest of that verse by using more verses in the passage. Does that make sense? So if you have a Bible, open it to Psalm 27, and I'm going to read for us Psalm 27:4, which this is the one thing that David asks of God. In the midst of his list of chaotic needs, here's the one thing he asks. So look in your Bibles at Psalm 27:4. Here's what it says. It says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Okay, so what's the one thing that David asks for? It's to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What does that even mean? Well, to put it really simply, the one thing that David asks God for is to be with God, is to live in his presence, right? That's the one thing. And what I want you guys to wrestle with is why? Why is that? Why is living in God's presence the one thing that David asks for? And I think that the rest of the psalm gives us two reasons why David asks God for that. The first one I think is found in verse 5. So look at the next verse with me. It says this. It says, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock." You see, the first reason I think that David only wants to be with God is because he trusts in God. That's the first reason why. And what I mean by that is this. David believed that God was the only one who could actually meet his needs. Right? Like David is living in fear for his life all the time. He believes that God is the only one who can actually protect him. He believes that God is the only one who can give him the wisdom and strategy to outsmart his enemies. He believes God is the only one who can actually give him peace in the midst of anxiety. And we actually, I think there's proof of this by the way that the psalm ends. Look at the last two verses in verses 13 and 14. David says this. He says, "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And then he gives an encouragement for himself and I think for us. He says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." So David trusts in God. That's the first reason. He only wants to be in God's presence. What's the second reason? I think we see it in verse 6. So look at verse 6 with me. It says this. It says, "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord." So what's the second reason that David only asks to be in God's presence? It's that David loved God. It's not just that David trusted in God to meet his needs. It's that he loved God above anything else. What does he say? He says, "I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy." Like God is not just a magic genie for David, hoping that he can grant his three wishes so that he can survive another day. Like God is David's source of joy to the point where he wants to sing and make melody because of who God is and what he's done. And so that's the second reason that David asks to only be in God's presence. It's because he trusts in God to meet all of his needs and because he loved God above anything else. And so I think that begs a question for us. How are we doing at trusting in God above all else and loving God above all else? Because I don't know about you, but honestly for me, I think I could probably grow in those things, right? I think I could probably do a better job. And so I think that begs another question of, well, how could we grow? How can we grow our trust in God and our love for God? Well, I have great news. David actually gives us the answer in the psalm. He actually gives us the answer in the verse we just read. So look back at verse 4. What does David say? He says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." You see, it's really simple. If you want to grow in your trust in God and your love for God, the way to grow is to seek God's presence. Because here's the truth. When you consistently make an effort to live in and to seek God's presence, he will grow your trust and your love for him. That's the way it works. Another word for this, to seek God's presence, to live in God's presence, another word for that is abide, which maybe you've heard that word before, maybe you haven't. But Jesus actually uses that word in John chapter 15. Jesus himself tells his disciples, abide in me and I in you. And what that means at the most simple level is, hey, live in my presence and my presence will live in you. And that's true. And now here's the truth. I want to clarify something. If you're a Christian, if you've placed your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, where does God's Spirit live? Do you guys know? That's right. That's right. If you've placed your faith in Jesus, what happens is that God sends his Spirit to live in you. And so here's something I want to make really clear. What I'm not talking about today is going and chasing God's presence because you don't have it. If you're a Christian, God's presence literally lives in you. The truth is that you have access to it whenever you want, all the time. As a matter of fact, nothing you could ever do would actually make God's presence leave from you. It's always with you. But I know we don't feel it all the time, right? And so what am I talking about? There's a difference. Okay, I'm not talking about going and taking God's presence for yourself because you don't have it. What I'm talking about is, when I say seek God's presence, is doing certain things to experience his presence that you already have. It's already with you, but there are things you can do to experience his presence more and more. And these are the things that we know to do. Like read our Bible, to pray, to worship, to be with other Christians, to think about the truth of the gospel. And if you're sitting there wondering, well, how do those things make me experience God's presence? Because maybe I've done those things before and I haven't felt any different. And that's fair. But I want you to think about it like this. When you open your Bible, this is God's word. The Bible tells us that every word of Scripture was inspired and breathed out by God. And so every time you open the Bible, you are literally reading God's words. You are hearing from God. And that's a way you experience his presence. When you pray and when you ask God for things, what you're doing is you are entrusting your requests to God. You're saying, God, here are the things that I want, and I'm asking you to take care of them. Okay, and when you do that, you're actually talking to him. You're experiencing his presence. When you worship through song, what you're doing is that you're being reminded of truths about God, like the truths we just sang, and you're thinking about them, and you're proclaiming them out loud through song, like, hey, here's what I believe. And you even sometimes experience an emotional connection to them. All of that is part of experiencing God's presence. And I want to be really clear. That doesn't mean that you're always going to get this warm, fuzzy feeling, okay? That's not what it means. But what it does mean is that you believe and choose to live in the presence of God that already lives in you. Here's the key, okay? These things, like I said, Bible reading, praying, all those, those things aren't the goal themselves. And what I mean by that is those things are means to an end. They're the tools to get to the goal, because the goal is to live in God's presence. And so if you are sitting there and you're like, well, I try to read my Bible every once in a while, I would ask you, when you open your Bible, what's your goal? Is your goal to just read a couple verses so that you can say that you did? Or is your goal to meet with God? When you're worshiping, when you're singing songs, are you just singing because that's what everyone does and it's weird if you don't do it, or maybe because you kind of like singing and so it's fun for you? Or is your goal to meet with God? And that would be my challenge for you guys, as you do the things that you've been challenged to do, that you would do them for the purpose of seeking God's presence. Something that I've started doing recently that I've really enjoyed is I've started practicing 5 minutes of silence every time I meet with the Lord. So let me tell you what I mean by that. I'll literally set a timer on my watch for 5 minutes and I'll close my eyes and I will pray. And I'll say, okay, Lord, for the next 5 minutes, I'm gonna tune out all the distractions. Would you fix my heart on who you are? Would you remind me of the truth of the gospel of Jesus? And if there's anything you want to say to me, would you bring something to mind? Because I will listen. And then I try to tune out the distractions. And I just wait for 5 minutes. It's all I do. And you guys would be surprised, at the end of those 5 minutes, I'm often like, God's brought something to mind. He's brought a scripture to mind, or he's reminded me of some truth about him that encourages me, or I just think more about the gospel and I'm more centered on that. And it causes me to have a greater desire to love God and to love other people. And when I do that, I'm meeting with God, even if I don't have the warm, fuzzy feeling. And so I'm not saying you have to do that, but maybe you want to. You could do it for 1 minute where you just say, hey, for the next 60 seconds, I'm just going to tune out the distractions and think about who God is. And that could be a way to meet with God. So to sum up the message in one sentence, it's this. The more we practice seeking God's presence, the more we will trust him and love him. And so if you want to grow in that, man, that's the way to do it. So to finish my time, I want to clarify something. Talking about God's presence being with you and his spirit being in us, the reality is his spirit only lives in us if we've put our faith in Jesus, right? Like if we have only asked Jesus to come into our hearts, asked for his work to be counted towards us, for his work on the cross to give us forgiveness from our sins and for his resurrection to give us life. That's the only way to experience God's spirit living in you. But if that's not you, I have great news. Because Paul says this in Acts chapter 17. He says that God made from God made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. Why? That they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. But then what does it say? It says, yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Here's the truth. This Psalm of David being in such desperate need points to the reality that all of us need a savior. And because of our sin, we don't have access to that savior. But because of what Jesus has done, because he came, lived, died, and rose from the dead, he does make access, does give us access to forgiveness and ultimately to the presence of God. So if any of you guys today have not placed your faith in Jesus, I would encourage you to do so, so that you can begin to live in God's presence, to grow to love and to trust him more and more. Because let me tell you from experience, it is where true life is found and it's worth it. Let's pray. Father, thanks so much for your word. Thank you for the truth of the gospel, that because of Jesus, because he came and lived a perfect life, died on the cross and rose from the dead, we now have access to forgiveness of sins. But more than that, we have access to your spirit living in us and to live in your presence. And Lord, what a gift, because that's what we were made for. So Lord, would you help us to grow in our love and trust for you as we seek to live in your presence? Would you help us to grow in our discipline, to read our Bible, to pray, to worship for the purpose of meeting with you? And then would you grow our hearts for you? Lord, we love you so much and we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, all right, break up into discussion groups. 7th grade's in here, 8th grade's in the couches, 6th grade in the back classrooms.